Welcome back to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Tonight we have a very special guest. I have a friend of mine from Montana, and he was a neighbor of mine back when we lived in Montana. His name is Eric Entz, and we're going to have a little discussion together about hearing God's voice. Before we begin, I just want to remind you, those that are listening, that there is a website called Strength for the Journey. It's strength with the number 4, thejourney.com. And there's a number of articles and past interviews, as well as the program here. This is program number 8 that you're listening to tonight. And again, about the crusade, we have a crusade scheduled for the end of November. We're excited about the opportunities that God is opening up. A number of opportunities in Panama City, as well as Boquete, David, a crusade in Caldera, as well as Puerto Amoyes. And we're excited about God's the doors that God is opening. And we'll update you more probably on the next program of all the different times and schedules of those events. Tonight, we're going to be talking about hearing God's voice and the importance of hearing God's voice and knowing God's voice in order to properly follow God. Many people think they hear God's voice, or maybe they don't even think God's voice is even available to be heard today, that this is something that maybe happened years ago. But Jesus said that my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and he won't follow the voice of another, but they'll follow my voice. And this is something that is absolutely crucial in a believer's life today, is learning to hear God's voice and following God's voice. Because I can truly tell you that's the first thing I wanted to know when I got saved and I became a believer, is that I said, God, I want to know your voice. And I said to God, how do I know it's your voice? I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to follow a voice that's going to lead me off the edge of a cliff thinking I was following God's voice. And so my first cry out to God was, God, how do I know it's you? And without me thinking anything else, the words that came back to me was, eliminate the devil. And I think, what in the world? Where's a thought like that come from? I don't think like that. And the next thought I was thinking, trying to figure out what in the world does that mean? The next thought that came across my mind was, eliminate every area in your life you've been deceived. And I was trying to figure this thing out, wondering what was going on, why I was thinking these thoughts. And I was trying to figure out, well, what exactly does it mean? And this little understanding just came to my mind was like two hands came out in front of me, and the first hand saying that Satan's the father of lies. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. And then on the other hand, I'm the spirit of truth. I've come to give you life and give it more abundantly. Eliminate one, what do you have left? And so I thought, wow, that seems so simple. But all I knew was I didn't really know how to hear God's voice, but I knew the voice of the enemy, the voice of the deceiver that had brought so much problems in my life before I'd given my heart to him, that I just had to eliminate what I knew wasn't God's voice. And as I began to do this and go through this process, God's voice began to get stronger and stronger in my life, until one day I was just driving my car. This was maybe a month after I'd given my heart to the Lord. And I'm driving my car and I'm pulling on the freeway, not thinking about anything but not getting run over in heavy traffic in Dallas, Texas. And as I look over my shoulder to make sure I'm not getting run over as I get on the freeway, I turn my head straight and I hear these words, if you'll live in me, I'll live in you. And I didn't ever read the Bible before, but I was just reading the Bible in John, and I was realizing after the discourse that Jesus was talking about, if you'll dwell in me, I'll dwell in you, and talking about being obedient and living in him and trusting in him, and that he wanted to live in me. And my obedience was critical in that process of learning to hear his voice. And this was just the beginning of something that was a very exciting walk that began in my life. And my special guest I have with me tonight is one of the few people I can say that I know that has learned to hear God's voice. And he's had a very amazing walk in his own life, learning to hear God's voice. And many times, and most of the time, I can tell you this from my personal experience, that God does not give us an easy road to follow. And his voice that we begin to learn is not like a big pat on the back, but a very narrow road that he's walking us down of obedience and dedication to him. And so I just want to open it up and let Eric introduce himself or share a little bit from his heart as he's begun to learn God's voice in his own walk and share some of his testimony. So Eric, why don't you share a little bit of how God has begun to reveal his heart and his voice to you, and how that began to develop, and how do you begin to discern God's voice as you begin to follow him?
Well, thanks, Andrew. I'm really happy to be here. It's exciting. I'm getting towards the end of my week being here, and I just mentioned before we came in here tonight that it's gone by too quickly, and I feel like I've just scratched the surface. It's my first time being in Panama, my first time being in Boquete, and my wife and I have just fallen in love with being here, and the people are just wonderful, very loving, generous people, and we've just been, we felt very welcome being here. And so I just want to thank you for allowing me to be here with you. Mm-hmm. And Andrew and I have been talking a lot since we've been here, and he mentioned to me that he was going to be doing this program and asked me to be on it, and the theme of this evening would be hearing God's voice. And so we've been kind of talking about that throughout the week, and one of the common denominator, I think, and what we've been discussing is that it's all about a relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. And I always ask people this that I come into contact with, always talk to them about how they know Jesus. And the people, the thing that I've realized with all the true believers in Christ, like the word says, the sheep know the shepherd's voice. And for a true believer in Christ, you will hear God's voice. And in my life, you kind of ask me how I've come to know that. And I like to kind of compare it to the relationship with my wife. When I first met her, we didn't know each other at all. But our desire was to know each other and to get to know each other. And so by communicating with each other and spending time together, we got to know each other. And through that, began a relationship and then ultimately marriage, and we've been married for almost 20 years now. But if you were to blindfold either one of us and stick us in a crowd full of people all talking and have the other one speak, we would know their voice through the crowd. We would know it because we've spent so much time together and we've communicated so much that we know each other's voice. And I think that's like our relationship with Jesus. You know, when I first began my relationship with him, when he set me free and forgave me of my sins and he changed me, I knew when I came to know Christ, I knew I was different. I knew I was changed. I knew I wasn't the same anymore. I knew the burden of sin and guilt had been lifted off of me and taken from me. I knew maybe I couldn't explain it all theologically, but I knew I wasn't the same anymore. And I also knew I had an encounter with God. And that began my relationship with him. And I realized that the more I spent time with him and the more I shared my heart, and this is one of the things my wife has taught me. She has one of the most sincere, true, and simple relationships with God that I know out of anybody. And sometimes we kind of like to think of, okay, when I spend time with God, I have to go kind of have my God time, kind of shut myself away and, you know, lay my request before God. And I'm not saying there's not a need for that time, but my wife, I learned when I first met her, she talks to the Lord all day long with everything she's doing, like having your best friend with you wherever you go. And I listen to her have a relationship with Jesus, and she has such a very simple, special relationship where she includes the Lord in everything that she does. And it, like, wow, it really, it showed me what I could have. Because when I first got saved, I had my time with the Lord, but I was kind of like my check in the box time, I guess you could say. You know, it was sincere and real. I would say that it was pretty formal in the sense of, I guess, what I have now. And so what the Lord taught me through my wife was that I could share my heart with the Lord at any time, anywhere. I could have communication with Him. I can fellowship with Him, doing whatever I was doing, and that He would hear me. And then actually He would communicate back with me too. And I didn't know I could have that. And so that's one of the things that the Lord has taught me over the years is just like my wife and I have developed that communication, and you have to, it's one of those things where, especially in a marriage where you have a covenant relationship, it's something that you need to work at. And you need to always keep that communication going. And but with God, it's a lot, you know, it's not hard to do that.
Well, you know, the word commune and communication come from the same root. And in order to communicate, you have to commune. And communication is not like a one-way voice. It's a communication is two directions. In other words, you can speak with God and He can speak with you. And that's what a relationship with Jesus is really all about, is that you can pray, but He's going to speak back to you also. He's going to speak with you because He has things He wants to talk to you about as well.
Yep.
And most people never get the second connection going the other direction, because many times God's voice, if you go and you look at the red letters in the Bible, you'll find there's not many easy words that Jesus gave to anybody. He's commanding us to love one another. He said, if you love me, you'll obey me. And so it's not like this easy little wide road that has, you know, it looks like an LA freeway. The kingdom the road to the kingdom of God is not like the LA freeway. It's got six lanes each way. It's a very narrow road. It's a very restricted road. And God is asks many things of us that many times are not easy. And this is one of the things that I learned as I began to hear God's voice. He was asking me to give up a lot of things initially. But as I did that, as I began to give up those things that I knew were not helping me in my life, because I didn't know how to have a better life, but I knew that if I would just begin to do what I felt was right in my heart, even though it was difficult to give up some things that... But if I look back, I thought, you know what? Because I said to God, I said, I want to hear your voice and eliminate the devil. He said, eliminate the devil. Eliminate every area in your life you've been deceived in. And as I was sort of thinking, you know what? I've never had a wreck when I haven't been drinking. I get around the wrong people. I say the wrong things. I do stupid things. And I thought, you know, drinking's done nothing good for me. It's only caused me problems. Obviously, maybe that's a good place to start. Maybe there's an area of deception that was an avenue that Satan was speaking into my life. And it was like almost like having, I almost pictured myself in a room full of radios. And there was only one right station. And so say you had a dozen radio stations playing in one room, and you didn't know which one was the right radio station. But if you started listening to them carefully, you go, oof, man, that station caused me nothing but problems. And he said, eliminate every area in your life you've been deceived. He didn't say cut back on, do in moderation. He said eliminate. And that means turn that station off all the way. Because if you just leave that station just barely playing, and this is where I realize, is that if you didn't eliminate what you knew was not God, how would you know what God, whose voice God was when you needed a question answered? How would you not have a voice of confusion in your life because you willingly allowed another voice to speak to you that you knew was not God? And I find that this is probably the number one thing that causes more problems in Christians' lives today, is that they do not eliminate what they know is not God. And when they have a very, very critical time in their life and they need to know God's voice and they need to hear it because they need to know the right direction or what to do, then there's all sorts of confusion because they've allowed other voices in their life. And I know, like right now, you're at a point in time in your life when over 20 years of following the Lord, or I don't know how many years it's been. How many years has it been that you've been a believer?
I came to the Lord when I was 17, so it's been, what, 25?
25 years?
Yeah, 25 years, yeah.
So during that time that you've walked with the Lord and learning to discern His voice, is critical right now in this point in time in your life, because you have a very important decision to make in your own life right now that is absolutely crucial that you hear God's voice, because you don't want to make a wrong choice or be deceived right now, because you're looking at moving and following the Lord, what you feel like His leading is. And so this is a 25-year walk is coming to fruition right now in a very critical point in time, because this could mean amazing blessing for following Him, or possible big problems if it's not God's voice.
Right.
So I just want to reiterate the importance of learning God's voice, because when you need to hear Him, you've got to know it's Him.
Right.
And you can probably say from experience the times in your life that you've gone through some amazing things, and your testimonies are amazing what God has done for you and with you. And we were just talking about this earlier tonight, that many times I didn't learn to hear or know God's voice until I obeyed first. And after being obedient to do what I felt the Lord was telling me to do, then God's voice was revealed that it really was Him, because the blessing followed out of my obedience to Him. And I imagine you can probably look back and say the same thing to many times in your life of the same situation.
Yeah, a lot of times, just kind of getting back to hearing God's voice and the different ways of doing that over the years, the Lord has taught me to hear His voice in His Word. He's taught me to hear His voice, His still quiet voice in my heart. Mm-hmm. God's spoken through other people in my life with prophetic words, or with people that didn't even know that they were speaking something, and I knew it was from the Lord. So many different ways, and sometimes maybe we don't hear His voice specifically in a situation, but we're seeking God and we sense His leading. And some of the indicators, at least, in our life, my wife and I, that we know that God's in something, or He's doing something, or He's leading us a specific way, we'll have unity together in that. That's very important for
Absolutely.
Us as a husband and wife, and God has really used that to decipher, whether we're supposed to be doing something or not, whether we have unity or not in that, whether we have peace or not in that. If either one of us have, we see any red flags or any things that may not be right, and if we don't have unity in that, we know at least we've got to work through some things and to determine that. But I think what you're talking about is, obeying God, if we, and then He confirms, mm-hmm. his voice in that once obedience, that step of obedience or step of faith is made. And that's played out in our life many times, where we may not hear God tell us to do something specific, but we sense that he's leading us into doing something. And the moment that we take the step of faith in that direction, to move in that direction, to do what only we can do, because God will never force us to obey Him. He won't ever force us to follow Him. Mm-hmm. But when we willingly choose to, and then we step out in faith in that, and to do something tangible and real in the direction that He wants us to go, then we've found, when we're in His will, then He begins to do things that only He can do. Then He begins to do the impossible. He begins to do the miracles. He begins to do those things where He reveals Himself. And we find ourselves in that situation right now. And we've been really seeking the Lord, trying to hear His voice right now where we're at, and making this decision that you just spoke of, and about moving. Because obviously our heart is, we want to do what God wants us to do. And we haven't had the Lord speak to us in a clear word and at this point right now, and I'm asking the Lord to do that, but what we do sense right now is that He is leading us in a direction that we are walking down right now, and like I say, when we do that and it is His leading, it is Him, then He begins to verify that, He begins to confirm that, and then because I tell you right now, what you just said, the importance of making the right decision, and the consequences either way, are very big. And we want to make sure we're doing what He wants us to do. And obviously we don't want to make mistakes, but we're not perfect, because there's been times that I've gotten my flesh in the way, and I've tried to make something in that it was never God, you know, I thought I heard him one way, but it was me making it into what I wanted it to be. So I'm not saying it, that it's, I haven't made mistakes in hearing God's voice. I've failed at times. And sometimes the consequences are bigger and sometimes they're not, but, you know, God knows that. And it's our heart to do the right thing. It's our heart to hear his voice. And I think the key is that we're diligently seeking him with all of our heart, and we're spending time not just talking when we get with him, but listening so that we can hear his voice. And so, you know, that's kind of where we're at right now. So,
well, it's just, it's amazing that many people, as they ask Jesus to come into their heart and ask to have this, begin this relationship, that many times God will ask us something difficult. I know that when he was asking me many things that were difficult in my flesh, but like, for instance, when I first got saved, I felt the impression to get out of debt, and it was almost like a broken record going over and over in my head, get out of debt, get out of debt. And the only way I knew how to get out of debt was to sell things that meant everything to me before this time. And those were my prize restored, you know, cars. I was a Pontiac nut. I loved GTOs, and I had restored cars. And I knew the quickest way for me to get out of debt was to sell these cars. And I just had such a burden like I'd never had before to get out of debt, that these cars meant nothing more to me than my way out of debt, out of debt. And so I sold them, and I paid down my debt load, and I began to travel with a ministry they did crusades all around the world, or they actually, at this point, just around the United States. But I saw myself in a long line of people, and I just almost as a vision, I saw myself in a long line of people, and each person stood before the Lord, and the Lord asked the person in front of me, "Are you ready?" And they weren't, so I moved up one step, and this is all I saw. I just saw myself move up one person because the person in front of me was not ready. And I got a phone call one night. It was about maybe 3 months after I got saved, and I had paid off these debts, and I had a paint and body shop. And so I didn't initially have the debt load that caused me to work, you know, to run the squirrel wheel real fast, you know, because I was having little bumper sticker, I owe, it's off to work I go, you know. I didn't have that grinding any longer. And I got a phone call one night from this evangelist that I was traveling just on my own expense and taking my camera with me because my hobby was taking pictures and photography. Well, this on the end of the line was Frances Hunter, and she said that we're getting ready to travel overseas, and our regular photographer can't travel. She can't leave work a week or two at a time. But if you could get off work or close your shop down or whatever to where you could leave, and this, you know, a week or two at a time, we'll pay all of your expenses if you'll do our photography work. And this was the door opener that I was able to travel right alongside this husband and wife, Charles and Frances Hunter, and I became their personal photographer for the next 8 years, and I traveled all over around the world with him. And what an amazing opportunity it was. But it was my obedience to do the hard thing that God told me to do, which was to get out of debt. And the only, you know, and it meant I had to demonstrate a value of what my past meant to me to what my future meant to me. I had to be willing to give up my past and the things, all my trophies of my past, to go forward and to see what God would do in my life for my future. And this is sometimes how many people that are listening right now, there may be difficult things that God may be asking of you in your life, and you have to make a decision, a determination of how valuable your future is. Is it more valuable than your past, or is your past more valuable than your future? And God has amazing doors that will open up to you if you will let go of the things of your past to let God lead you in your future. And this is a dividing line for many people. This is where the rubber meets the road of whether they're willing to let go of the past or release the value of their past to the value of maybe what they don't know what's in the future. But this is the part of trusting God. You have to be willing to sacrifice your Isaac. You know, your what meant everything in your past, you have to be willing to let it go, because there's something very special for you if you're willing to let go of your former value, because God has something very special for you in your future. I know you have something out to say here.
You know, I just, one of the things I was thinking about before, and it kind of slipped my mind when I was talking before, but it goes along with what you're saying too. When God tells you to do something, especially something that involves a price or a cost, a lot of times when we start walking that thing out, the trial becomes great, and sometimes we second guess ourselves. Sometimes we question, our thoughts can even fail us. Our friends can fail us. So what I realize is when God tells us to do something that we have to trust Him in, and we come into the difficulty of it, we come to the challenge of it, when we're walking out obedience to His word. Sometimes what I found actually all the time in that situation, the only thing we can really stand on is His promise. The only thing we can stand on is what He said, His word He gave us. And so we've encountered that in our life when we've had to step out in obedience, sometimes even when we don't even understand why God is telling us to do this, because most of the time God doesn't give us the full picture when He tells us to do something. He wants us, to trust Him and obey Him. Mm-hmm. The Lord told me one time when He wanted me to obey Him in a very challenging situation that I didn't understand. He goes, I've taught you to know my leading. I've taught you to discern my voice and to hear my voice. So it's enough for you to simply obey. And walking that process out, I realized that I've gone through such trials in my life where I've even doubted, did I make the right decision? And what am I even doing? I mean, because everything's failed around me, I had to go back to what God said, and I had to stand on that, because when he tells us to do something, He also gives us a word of hope too. Mm-hmm. And God gave me the promise He would give me everything I need to walk this thing out in His word. That's what He promises, that He'll give us everything we need to do whatever He's called us to do. And so we can stand on His word in the difficult time. And sometimes that's the only thing we can stand on, because, like I said, sometimes our even our own thoughts fail us, and the enemy comes in and puts doubt in. And so, but he always has hope in that too, to be able to stand on that when we do step out.
That's right, He does, and He does offer hope. This scripture came to my mind a little while ago when we were talking earlier tonight, was in Hebrews. It says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God." And without faith, without trust that leads to obedience, it's impossible to please God. For those that come to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You have to first believe that God exists. You have to know that He exists, and you have to know who He is to the point that you know that He is a God that rewards those who diligently seek Him. He will bless those that obey Him. And that's what real faith is walking out a trust that leads to obedience. And that's the confidence we have to know who He is, the personality of God, that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. I'm going to take a little break here. We're going to play a song here, and then we'll be back just after the song.
Light in my darkness.
Jesus is asking us to put all our hope in Him. Because you know what happens when we put all of our hope in Him is that He responds to us because He wants us to trust in Him 100%. He doesn't want to trust in ourselves, in our own strength, in our own abilities. He wants us to trust in Him. And when we put all of our trust in Him, you know what? He responds in an amazing way. He shows up in ways that we can never imagine how. He just wants us to get to a place where we depend upon Him, where we trust in Him and we say, Lord, You're all I've got. You know, when we came to Panama here a little over a year ago, I saw such a hunger in the people here. And I came to realize that God feeds the hungry. That when your soul is hungering for God, He will show up and He will feed you. And He will nourish you. And He will show Himself real for those that trust in Him and put their trust in Him. And we can tell you many testimonies of different situations in our life, both Eric's and mine, that where we have literally cried out to God and there's no other place to go, that God shows up. It's like there's no place to go. There's the Red Sea in front of you. There's the Egyptian army behind you. And literally at that point in time, that's when the miracles in our life have just come amazingly right in front of our eyes. And this is something that we can say from experience that just like when we came here, didn't know anybody, didn't know the language, but just came out of obedience, that God opened doors that no man could have opened. He brought unbelievable divine appointments and connections and just showed His hand real. But it was at a place where when I had given everything up, I let everything go. We literally moved our family with nothing but suitcases and a few boxes that fit in a little mini 15-passenger van, our whole family and everything we own. And I literally cried out to God and I said, God, if You don't feed me, I'm going to die. And I heard His voice come back to me and He said, good, now You're where I want You. And I realized that this is where He wants all of us to get, is that we come to a place where He's all we got. And then He shows up. And I began to look in the Gospel of Luke, and Jesus describes literally the qualifications to be a disciple was that if you loved anybody more than Him, including your own life, you could not be His disciple. And He said, if you're not willing to pick up your cross and follow Me, deny yourself and follow Me, you cannot be My disciple. And then He said, if you love anything more than Me, any of your possessions, if they're in front of Me, you cannot be My disciple. And I know another thing, the Lord kind of gave me another qualification. If you can't leave your past, if you can't forgive everybody that's done you wrong, you can't come with Me. You can't follow Me. You'll never keep up with Me dragging your past behind you. And I just want to encourage you right now, if there's things in your life that are coming between you and God, if there's people in your life, including your own life, yourself, that you will not give up, you will not yield to. If there's stuff in your life that you won't let go, if there's people in your past that have done you wrong and you just are holding a grudge, holding bitterness in your heart, it's like dragging a ball and chain. Your past is being dragged behind you and it's not worth it. Just let it go. God wants you to let it go and just release you. If you'll release those, you'll be released yourself. There's a spiritual pair of scissors called forgiveness that the Lord showed me, that if you'll reach around and forgive everybody that's done you wrong, that's hurt you, that's you felt unjustly dealt with or treated, maybe things in your past, maybe it goes back way back in your childhood, maybe there's somebody that possibly abused you in your early childhood, And there's just all sorts of hurt and bitterness. If you will just say, Lord, I forgive that person, that you watch what God does inside your heart. He will just heal your heart, heal the wounds. The memories will become distant, and God will open the door to your future. But I wanted Eric to share some more about just some of the things. I'd love for him to share some of his testimonies of how he's trusted God in some amazing situations. Eric was a Marine helicopter pilot, and God did some amazing things with him, even to get him to the point where he became a pilot. Did a miracle with his eyes, healed his eyes that he could become a pilot. But I just want him to share whatever is on his heart, just to encourage the listeners that God, what he's done for us in our life, he will do for anybody.
Thanks, Andrew. I'm amazed when I share what God has done in my life, because sometimes it doesn't feel like it was me. It's just so amazing. I tell you, every time I share about what God has done, it blesses me and encourages me. I'm reminded of what God can do. And, the Bible in the Old Testament talks about, God said to not tear down the stones of remembrance that Israel would place when God met them, when God did something mighty. And I think sometimes, the reason for that is God didn't want them to ever forget what he had done. And so sometimes,
kind of like the altar when they went across the Jordan River,
yes,
they built an altar. Always,
yes,
to remember what God did.
Exactly. And so sometimes we need to be reminded of what God's done in our life, especially when we start going through new struggles in our life. And I know for me, and Israel did this too. God did miracles, but then they would come into a new situation. They would act like God had never done anything. And sometimes we do that too. And so God reminds me of what he's done in my life to encourage me and give me the hope and the faith to trust him in the next trial, the next thing that I go through in my life. And one of the things that Andrew mentioned was being able to become a pilot in the Marine Corps. That was a dream that I had as a young kid. And I know we probably don't have time to get into all of that right now, but there was a time where I was kind of living for myself, and I had my dreams placed above God, my desires, and I hadn't submitted those to him. So I was pretty much kind of living for what I wanted to do, not knowing what God wanted me to do. So at this time I was going to school and going to college, and I had a guaranteed slot for flight school in the Marine Corps once I graduated, and I had gone to officer's candidate school. I had everything going for me for all intents and purposes. And all I needed to do, I had one more year left of college. Once I graduated, I'd be commissioned, go to flight school. But I came to a place of brokenness in my life and realized that I wasn't fully surrendered to the Lord. If anything, I was living a life that I shouldn't have been living at the time. I repented, and I said, God, I'm drawing a line in the sand today, and I'm never going to look back. I never want to live a roller coaster Christian life again. And I was so serious, I told the Lord that day when I made that decision, I would rather you take my life than for me ever to turn my back on you again. And really, that's how serious we have to be as Christians. We all have to come to a point of drawing a line in the sand, because God doesn't want 80%. He doesn't want 90%. He doesn't want 99%. He wants everything. He wants all of us. And he wants our lives completely, wholly, fully submitted to him. And so I came to that point, and I gave my life completely over to the Lord. And, at this point, I felt that I needed to give up my agenda for my life, my plans, because I didn't know what God wanted me to do. And how could I pursue something without knowing if it's what God wanted me to do? And I actually decided to give up my slot to flight school. And in a sense, I sacrificed my desire, my dream before the altar. I gave it to the Lord as an offering, a sweet-smelling aroma to him. I gave it my dream. And my everybody in my life thought I was out of my mind. My dad thought I was crazy. How could you be giving up a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, a dream that very few people get? But I gave it up, and I laid it down. I said, God, I don't care what I do. I just want to serve you with everything that I have. And you show me what you want me to do, whatever that is. I'm just going to pursue you. And I know as I pursue you, the Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord, that God would order my steps. He would direct me. And so I just set my life to pursuing him. Well, 6 months after that decision, I met my wife, and we got married a year later, and we began our family. I never lost my desire to fly, but I just surrendered it to the Lord. And I knew there was something inside of me, and I know it was the Lord, that I knew God was going to do something. I knew that he had a purpose for me. He had a plan for me. And there was a time in my life I started to really pursue God. He put a hunger in me to pursue him and to seek him. And it was during this time, in hindsight, I can look back and see how God started orchestrating all these events, preparing me to do something that I didn't know he was going to have me do. And I had actually quit college too, a semester short of getting my bachelor's degree at this time too. I began a family, and I just didn't, you know, at that point, that wasn't my priority. And I wanted to finish, but I just didn't have the opportunity at that time. But what I didn't realize is God was getting ready to give me back the thing that I gave up for him. He was getting ready to resurrect the thing that had been sacrificed to him. And for no other reason than the opportunity presented itself, I finished my degree. And the other interesting thing about this is that during the time that I had the slot for flight school when I was going to school, from the time that I had gotten married and started my family, and God started to do something that I'm going to talk about here, my eyesight had deteriorated from 20/20 to 20/70. I was wearing glasses, okay? And I say that because that's a very important part of this testimony. But what I didn't realize is God was preparing me to go back in the Marine Corps, because I was prior enlisted, but he was preparing me to go back in as an officer and become a pilot. Something amazing happened. We talk about hearing God's voice. This is an amazing thing. I was sitting on my couch. It was my 27th birthday, and I was sitting with my mother, and we were talking. I said, "Mom," I said, "at the end of my life, I don't want to have any regrets. I want to do what God created me to do, and I don't want to fail him. I don't want to have regrets." I said, "So many people go through life, and they have regrets at the end because maybe they didn't step out of faith to trust God. Maybe God gave them a vision to do something." And I'll tell you right now that there are some people listening right now. God has given you a vision to do something, and you haven't stepped out in faith to do it yet. Maybe you feel like you're restricted by your finances. Maybe it's your age. Maybe it's your education. Maybe you're just fearful to do something that you've never done before. But I want to tell you right now, if God has told you to do something, he's not going to force you to do it. You have to take the step of faith and obey him. But when you take that step of faith, God will come in and he will do what you can't do. He will give you what you need. He will give you the things that you feel deficient in. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. So if God has called you to do something that you have not done, that you have not stepped out to obey him, it's time to do that. It's time to trust God and step out in faith. And don't wait for him to have it all lined up and all figured out and have all your, you know, all the answers given. God's not asking for you to have it figured out or to understand. He's asking you to obey and to step out in faith. And when you do, he will do what you can't do. So I just want to encourage you right now. And what I'm talking, this testimony I'm talking about speaks of that. Because God, as I was sitting there and I told my mom, that I don't want to have any regrets. I said, so many people go through life and they have regrets at the end of their life because they never trusted God to do what he called them to do. Maybe they had a desire that God put in them to be used for his kingdom, for his purpose, but they never did. I said, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that person. And I asked my mom, I said, if you could do anything for God, what would it be? What's the desire of your heart? What has he put in you to do? Has he given you a vision for his service? And she told me, And she said, "What about you, Eric?" I said, "Mom, I said, I love Jesus with all my heart. And I want people to know his salvation like I know. I want people to be saved." I said, "That's my heart's desire." I said, "But I also have a desire to fly." And I said, "If I could do both of those together, I couldn't ask for anything more." And something amazing happened the moment I said those words. See, we talked about hearing God's voice. From the time when I was 17 years old,
God began to speak to me. But God did something at this time, 10 years later, that he had never done before. He spoke in an audible voice to me that was as loud as I'm talking right now. And he said, as I said what the desire of my heart was, God spoke to me and he said, that's what you're going to do. But it wasn't just a voice I heard. I felt his presence when I heard his voice. It was so intense and so strong. I knew immediately when he spoke, it was the Lord. I knew it without a doubt. There was no question. And I began to weep right there in front of my mom. But the thing was, my mom didn't hear it, only me. And so she said, what's wrong, Eric? And I said, Mom, I said, the Lord just spoke to me. And the very thing that I said I wanted to do, the desire of my heart, God said, that's what I'm going to do. And so sometimes when God speaks to us and he gives us a word or he gives us a promise, we know the word, but the timing sometimes is the thing that we don't know. And so I won't get into some of the testimony because we don't have time. But what God was showing me was that he had a plan that I would go, that I would become a pilot in the Marine Corps. And I'll fast forward, okay? I had the opportunity to finish my degree, which is a requirement to be a commissioned officer in the Marine Corps, for no reason other than to finish it, because I didn't know what God was doing at this point. We'll fast forward about 9 months later. The very day that I got my degree, I had a dream. Another way that God communicates to us. If you look throughout the Bible, there are many people throughout the Bible that have dreams and visions. And that's actually the prophecy in Joel that was fulfilled in the second chapter of Acts when Peter got up and he talked about how that will be the sign of the believers, that they'll have dreams and visions and prophesy. Well, God continues to do that today. That hasn't stopped.
That's right.
And I had a dream. And at that point, well, not since, I guess, I'm just the type of person, I sleep pretty heavy and I don't remember a lot of my dreams, but this dream was different. It was special, and it's something that had never happened to me before. It was a dream that woke me up out of my sleep. I sat up with my heart racing at like 3 o'clock in the morning, and it was a dream that I was a pilot in the Marine Corps. And I got up and I knew it was a dream, but I knew that it was more than a dream. I couldn't explain it. I knew this meant something. My wife woke up and she said, what's wrong? And I told my wife, I just had this dream that I was flying in the Marines, but I just feel like it means more than, it's not just a dream, it means something. She goes, well, maybe God's trying to tell you something. Here we go, talking about hearing God's voice. He's trying to communicate with us, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's trying to tell you something. And so I began to pray and seek the Lord about it. And then she said, well, why don't you just call the Marine Corps tomorrow to see if you could even go in? Because remember, I had given up my slot to flight school. I had already been to officer's candidate school already and all that. So, I kind of felt like I was crazy, okay, because my eyes didn't even qualify anymore. You have to have 20/30 uncorrected vision.
And you had 20/70.
And I had 20/70. I wore glasses right at this point, okay? So I was thinking, wow, I know God can do anything. I know he created the heavens and the earth, and I know there's nothing impossible. I have heard of miracles. I've seen him do miracles. I know he can do this, but this was me. This was like, wow, am I being crazy or is this God? You know, kind of it's a kind of fine line of faith sometimes, you know, not knowing which one. And so as I began to seek the Lord, my wife began to seek the Lord. I called up the Marine Corps and I said, hey, you know, I told him my past and I said, can I go back in if you know, is it possible? And they said, well, you've got to have a bachelor's degree. And I had just got it, okay? Wow. The maximum age cutoff is 27, and I was 27. You have to have 20/30 uncorrected vision. And I went, I don't know about that. I didn't say anything when I was talking to them on the phone. But yes, they said, if you pass your flight tests again and you go through all the flight exam and you qualify, then yes, you can go back in, but you have to qualify for a flight slot again. So I got off the phone and I prayed and I talked to my wife and I said, I don't know if this is the Lord or not, but we began to really seek him. And what God showed me was that the dream he had given me and when he spoke to me on my birthday, they were all meaning the same thing, and that was that God wanted me to step out in faith, to literally walk by faith and not by sight. and to trust him and go back in, and that he would make me a pilot. So I began to prepare myself. And here again, this is kind of how God works. He won't do what you can do. He'll do what you can't do. So he'll require you to step out and do those things that only you can do, but then he'll come in and do those things you can't do. And so I ended up going through the eye exam to qualify, and they said, you don't qualify to be a pilot, but you can still go in as a ground officer. And it boggled my brain, because I said, Lord, you want me to be a pilot, but I can't even go in as a pilot. So what do you want me to do? And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, you just go in and watch and see what I'm going to do. And so I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to step out in faith. So I quit my job. I was a mortgage loan officer at the time, and I had three children at the time. And I went to officer's candidate school again. I'd already been there already before. And I got commissioned as a second lieutenant, and I went to some further training called the basic school. And when I got there, they said, you have one flight slot for, I think there was 260 of us. I can't remember how many there were in our company. But there was one flight slot available, and my eyes didn't even qualify at this point. But I said, Lord, I know you can make a way where there seems to be no way. I know you're the God that heals, even today. So I know we don't have a lot of time, so I'm just going to sum this up. And I wish I had the time, because it's pretty amazing what God did. Well, God healed my eyes when I did not have a flight contract. I was a ground officer, and he gave me a slot to flight school.
But you said that you went in and you didn't have the vision until you went and took your test.
Yes.
Explain that a little bit, just a little bit, that you stepped out in faith to go in and take your test, even though you knew you weren't able to see and do the test. So explain that, because this is just amazing how God even healed your eyes. It's like when he told the man with the withered hand to stretch forth his hand. It's in the action of the faith. When he stretched forth his hand, it was healed. When you took your test, even though you couldn't see, but 20/70, God healed your eyes during that time.
What's amazing is if the eye doctor had just looked at my medical records, they would have seen that my eyes didn't qualify. But I still went in for the eye exam, and it wasn't just like reading the chart. It was very intense. And the doctor didn't say anything during the exam the whole time. And I walked out of there, and I'm thinking, man, did I pass or fail? I go up to the petty officer at the desk, and I said, can you look at my medical records and tell me how I did on my medical exam? And he looked through, and he said, okay, your eye exam, you got 20/20 in one eye, 20/30 in the other eye. And I was like, whoa! You know, and my wife and I rejoiced. And what's amazing, too, and here again, God is in the details. But we don't have time to share this right now. But he healed my eyes, and he got me a slot for flight school when it seemed impossible. Actually, my testimony is that I didn't get it initially, but within 2 weeks of getting orders to be a ground supply officer, God changed my orders. And within 2 weeks of that, I was going to Pensacola, Florida to go to flight school. It's an amazing, amazing testimony. Maybe some other time I can share the whole story.
Well, what the amazing thing is that it's just the act of obedience that God does something very amazing in our lives. And it's just like as a child, as a father or a mother, we want to bless our children's obedience. When they're obedient, we bless them. And we, because God is no different, that he is, the blessing I found in my life was hinging on my obedience. That when I obeyed, God's blessing always followed. It never failed.
Yes.
And I can encourage you that as you step out in faith and you obey, you watch what God does with your life, that he will do amazing things in your life if you will just step out and obey. And so I just want to encourage you tonight to just with Eric's testimony of what a man or what a woman, what God can do and through anybody that is willing to obey. And so, Eric, thanks so much for joining us tonight. I'm believing God that you will be back again, and we'll carry on this conversation on another radio program. But God bless you. Again, Strength for the Journey is the website, strength4thejourney.com. There's a number of articles and interviews, and I think you'll be blessed if you'll spend a little time and browse through the internet. through the website. And we will talk to you again next week, and God bless you. I will be